Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at some sayings from Matthew that Jesus preached a sermon. And at the start of this Sermon on the Mount, there are these sayings. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And these sayings are they're like Jesus' manifesto for his people. And he says, if you want to be blessed in life, if you want to understand blessing, if you want, and actually, I've never met anybody who doesn't want to be blessed in life. Anybody who goes, no, not me, I don't want to be blessed. I want the other, I want to be cursed. No, I don't get that. People want to be blessed. And Jesus said, this is how you're blessed. Blessed are you when. And in each one, there's a people and a promise. Blessed are a certain group of people and the promise that will come to them. And the people and the promise that we're looking at today are blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So it's this people group who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and the promise is they will be filled. And I'm just going to look at this verse for a minute or two, but I want to do a little experiment first. What makes you hungry? So I have a picture here that might make some of you hungry. Yeah. Is that working for you? Nice beef burger. Some of you, yeah. Oh, so you're thinking about lunch already. Or how about this? Sushi, yeah. We've got sushi now in Waitrose in Whitney because that's the kind of town we are. Woo! I looked at the price of that stuff. Whew, they're not going to be getting my custom. That opened on Friday. Or maybe for the vegetarians, you know, just... Sorry, I'm going to get in trouble for that. Okay, we'll go to one we all agree on. Here we go. Ice cream, waffles. You know, who can't like that? There's even a bit of fruit for those of you who want to be healthy eaters. What makes you hungry? So some of you, there's one or two of you out there who are actually now thinking about what am I having for lunch? And what makes you hungry? And I hope and I imagine that none of us have actually ever experienced extreme hunger. We're fortunate that none of us have, I hope, experienced prolonged hunger or thirst because we live somewhere where food is accessible. We live somewhere where there's a lot of water. So we don't hunger and thirst. Food and water are available. For most of us, probably the closest we've got to thirst is maybe when we've dehydrated on a hot holiday somewhere because we're not used to the hot weather and we've got a bit of sunstroke. And you know, maybe some of us have experienced thirst of a different kind, but most of us, we know where the next drink, the next meal is coming from. But I want you to imagine, we've seen the pictures, haven't we, of people who are hungry and thirsty, people for whom everything else just doesn't matter. All they are after finding is food and water, because that's what's important. They don't care about shopping, they don't care about money, they just need food and water. That's the sort of hunger and thirst I imagine in this particular beatitude that Jesus is speaking about. Blessed are those who are desperately hungry and desperately thirsty for righteousness. It dominates their thinking. They want to see righteousness come. But what is righteousness? I mean, it's not a word, again, we use particularly often, is it, in our sort of, oh, yeah, my righteousness factor's strong today or anything. So what is righteousness? Well, Psalm 19 says this about righteousness. I think we've got a slide of this. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Fundamentally, righteousness is really good. There's this passage in Psalm refreshing the soul, making wise the simple, giving joy to the heart, giving light to the eyes, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm and all of them are righteous. Righteousness is really good. It's really good. And we sometimes mistake it or misunderstand it because we think of self-righteousness. And self-righteousness are those people where everyone else is wrong and they're right in their own eyes. They are the righteous, no one else is. And they are self-righteous. But this isn't what this is talking about. This is talking about a righteousness that shines out of someone and makes their world better. Proverbs 4 verse 18 said, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day." There's something about righteous people that shines out into their communities, that makes a difference, that you, when you see them, you know it, and it's good. It's good. And those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who Jesus is talking about, they recognize that God is the ultimate source of real righteousness. So they long for his righteous character to be evident in people's lives on earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are wanting to see God's righteousness in other people and in themselves. It speaks of those who seek God's righteousness rather than attempting to become self-righteous. So in Philippians 3, verse 8, one of the letters that was written to the early church, it says, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." So these people want the righteousness that comes from God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the righteousness that comes from God to be displayed in and through them and others in the world. And what does Jesus say of this people group? He promises them that they will be filled. They will be filled. When they seek him, he will fill them. He will satisfy their hunger. They shall be satisfied by responding to his invitation to be in relationship with him. God is righteous. We're hungering and thirsting for him and his righteousness. My wife Sue said to me, the Beatitudes, I mean, do they all actually just say the same thing in a different way? And actually, she's got a point. Yes, to some degree, they do. And no, they don't. But the heart of them is that you're blessed when you're right with God, when he is the center of your life and your life flows out of the relationship with him. Then you're blessed. You become merciful, a peacemaker, a comforter. And this is why our bishop, Bishop Stephen, has asked us to look at these Beatitudes, because he said when the church demonstrates the Beatitudes, it will look more like Jesus. And that's what he wants for all the churches, that we would look more like Jesus. And when you get God's perspective and you hunger and thirst for his righteousness, then you start to hunger and thirst for the right things in life as well. Your perspective and my perspective changes. We hunger and thirst for peace, for justice, for the healing of the nations, for the restoration of broken lives. And one of the things that Jesus encourages us to do in the scriptures is to actually make ourselves physically hungry and thirsty so that we focus more on God and on his priority in our lives and in the world. And that's called fasting. And he encourages us to fast, to think about what God's priorities are. We're going into a season called Lent in the church that starts on Valentine's Day. Great day to start giving things up. But starts on Valentine's Day and runs through to Easter. And the season of Lent is about focusing, again, getting our perspective back on God, on what he has done for our world, on sending Jesus into our world. And one of the things people do during Lent is fast. They give something up. They might give up chocolate or give up alcohol or give up screens, but give something up. I'd really encourage you to give something up. Maybe even give up food. Give up lunch once a week or for 24 hours, give up food and fast. This isn't about sort of going on a diet or giving things up for the sake of giving things up. This is about giving things up so we regain God's perspective, so we see his righteousness, so we understand more what he is like as a father. It helps us to get his perspective, to see see things the way he sees them, helps us to understand his righteousness in action. And what does God's righteousness in action look like? Well, Isaiah 58 says this: Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rearguard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." They shall be filled. I wonder if Jesus was thinking of this passage when he gave this beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Because in that passage, your light will break forth like the dawn, your healing will appear, then your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. You will call, and he will say, "Here am I." They shall be filled. Your righteousness, they will be filled. I wonder if Jesus was thinking of this passage. Filled, fulfilled, or one of the other translations, English Standard Version, translates this as satisfied. They will be satisfied. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. Now, so many people look for satisfaction in the wrong places and in the wrong things and still do that. At this point in the service, I was thinking about breaking into the Rolling Stones' "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." But I thought, A, my wife Sue would probably run out. My sons would disinherit me if they heard I'd done it. And your ears would start bleeding. So I didn't think I'd do that. But you know, Mick Jagger had something when he came up with these lyrics. "I can't get no satisfaction." Some of you probably knew it really well and rocked along to it many years ago. But for those of you who don't know the lyrics of "I Can't Get No Satisfaction," he talks about driving in his car and someone coming on the radio, giving him more useless information. He talks about watching TV and someone telling him how white his shirts can be. He talks about a relationship that he's trying to get, but it's not working. See, he's looking for satisfaction in the wrong places, relationships, possessions, the views of others. But it's only God who ultimately satisfies. Only God who ultimately satisfies. It's only when we align our hearts and our motives with God that we truly discover a different world. And you know, if you're struggling with life, if you're in that place where you feel you need some healing or some help, can I take you back to that Isaiah passage? Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. When does it appear? It appears when we start to encounter God's righteousness. How do we encounter God's righteousness? Well, we say to him, "Lord, who can I help? And how can I help them?" And we stop being absorbed about us and we start looking out to the other. And we start to think about, well, where are the poor who are hungry? Where are those who are chained and need chains broken? And as we start to serve others, we discover again God's righteousness. There's a song that we sing sometimes from Hillsong's Hosanna. "Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you've loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause as I walk from earth into eternity. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. When we start to say, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. Give me your perspective about righteousness. Help me to see justice like you see it. Help me to make a difference to the other. Then we will be filled. We will be satisfied. I was challenged a couple of weeks ago by a question that a leader asked that I'd heard before, but it threw it out, and it's a question that he'd asked his own church. If our church suddenly ceased to exist, would our community miss us? If our church suddenly ceased to exist, would our community miss us? Now, I hope the answer is yes. I hope that, you know, the school would miss us, where we're governors, where we're doing coaching. I hope people would miss us at Coglets. Well, suddenly the Coglets group isn't happening. I hope the friendships we have, I hope where, and by the church, I mean the people as well. I hope where you are in the office, if you suddenly disappeared, would your workplace miss you? I hope they would. I hope they would. This church leader who threw this out is actually a church in Canada, Southridge Community Church. And they've made a commitment to being difference makers where God has placed us. That's their sort of mission statement. We will be difference makers where God has placed us. And they talk about putting themselves in proximity to need. They have now three church plants, and they say each of their locations is organized around an anchor cause. So every time they plant a church, they plant it around an anchor cause of compassion and justice to serve the marginalized in its community through developing unlikely friendships that also transform our faith. So their anchor causes of their three churches, one is homelessness. They actually moved from the suburbs into the center of the city. And as part of their church, they built a 50-bed homeless shelter in the base of the basement of their church. Homelessness is one anchor cause. Migrant farm workers, another migrant cause of another of their plants. And kids at risk is the third. But what they've discovered is this, that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. They've discovered that as they've stepped out and as they've served and as they've helped the marginalized, unlikely friendships have formed. And so here's the picture. Their website has pictures on the front of unlikely friendships. And I don't think you'll be able to see what it says in the box, but it says, an unlikely Martin's story, an unlikely friendship that transformed his faith. And they say, God gave us the gift of the poor. We have enjoyed transformational friendships with marginalized people. This isn't about doing things to make ourselves feel better. This is about our shared humanity and discovering God in the other. And their website is full of these unlikely friendships. Would our community miss us if we cease to exist? Well, I hope they would, because I know that many of you are involved in things like CAP, Christians Against Poverty, BSOM, Street Pastors, Open Doors, A+, TLG, and other things that you serve and you seek to reach out to others. And as we hunger and thirst for God's righteousness, we will be filled. As I said at the start, and I hope as well, we're starting a community lunch on the 2nd of March. And again, it's been wonderful, the number of people who said they want to get involved in that. And the whole idea of the community lunch is you invite someone who you know is lonely or isolated and bring them along that unlikely friendships might form. Would our community miss us if we'd cease to exist? I hope so. My hope, my aim, is that our community will miss us more in 5 years' time if we cease to exist. And in 10 years' time, if we cease to exist, our community would be devastated because we've ceased to exist. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for God's righteousness, for they will be filled.